go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You know, I learned today again, or had it reinforced to me this Monday, the 23rd of March, 2009, that there is a certain danger involved in letting me out into the wide, wide world. As long as I'm sitting here on our little acre of ground, our little corner of heaven in the hills, what's left of them, I can pretend that there is not a venomous, toxic sea of right-wing hate seething around me. It's kind of like living on a house at the beach and having it soundproof so you can't hear the ocean. But when I go out into the wide, wide world, I'm exposed to this evil garbage. And it just makes me feel like, well, what I've described before. When you're out hiking in the woods and you walk through a spider web you didn't see and you spend the next 45 minutes walking with your arms kind of flailing and, you know, kind of brushing the creepiness off of you because your skin's crawling all over you. That's me today. Subjected to 4 continuous hours of right-wing bitterness, vitriol, and hatred. Because, of course, there are no liberals in West Virginia, and nobody programs radio stations in West Virginia with anything but right-wing hate. I promise, it was nasty. And I think it serves as rather an object lesson for where the nation is. Because, you know, this didn't just, I mean, this wasn't, you know, little local podunk hosts. These were nationally known, syndicated, highly paid radio talk professionals. Bourbon, Bob. Bourbon helps. From Lottie. Lots of bourbon, Bob, from the chat room. I was driving, Lottie! And besides, I never drink without a reason. Sun's up, mail's in, somebody's birthday somewhere. You know how it goes. But I was driving, so I was captive, you know, because then you hit the scan bile. Oh, well, Dr. Freud, you can stay home for that one, because that was right, the scan bile. I hit the scan dial, and I get the last station in West Virginia playing music. And it's apparently a channel programmed exclusively for people older than 90 who haven't figured out FM yet. You know, the Lennon Sisters, Artie Shaw, Harry James and his orchestra, that kind of thing. Sadly, our West Virginia public radio gives you a little bit of news in the morning, a little bit of news in the afternoon. Garrison Keillor reading a poem at news, and the rest of it is, you know, music to fall asleep at the wheel by. So that was not an option. And where was I going? Well, I was headed down to Huntington. There was a status conference this morning in the courtroom of Federal District Judge Robert C. Chambers. Yeah, it's fun when you're a lawyer and you've got a meeting in his office, you get to say you're going to Judge Chambers' chambers. But anyway, this wasn't in Judge Chambers' chambers, this was in Judge Chambers' courtroom. And it was a status conference about some remaining mountain removal permits, that remain after the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals did their dirty deed. And it was just deemed necessary that we be there to be paying attention. There's always a chance that the Fockers will bus in a busload of knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing mountain removal operators or workers. So we wanted to make sure that we were filling some of the seats. So Huntington's 2 hours away from here. 2 hours down, 2 hours back. 2 hours of truly forgettable right-wing palaver that was made worse, that was worse in the afternoon than it was, or than it was in the morning. On the way down in the morning, it was just our local statewide wingnut freak complaining about abortion from the rotunda of the West Virginia State Capitol, where he takes up residence like some bat hanging upside down for 6 weeks every late winter, early spring. But on the way back, it was obnoxious. For starters, on the America's Truth Detector, you know, Flesh Flimball, the guy with the Viagra prescription with one gone, who takes an all-boys vacation to a little island in the Caribbean known for little boy sex for money. Yeah, that guy. Well, he was gone today. Must have been a long weekend, if you know what I mean. He was gone today, and he was replaced. He was sat in for by this goober by the name of Mark Stein, who talks like this. With a British accent is about as phony as one can make it. Well, it's very much like this. It's terribly, terribly phony. But he was trying to be cute. He was trying to be cute for 3 solid hours. Like this.
McCain talked more about greedy Wall Street fat cats than Obama did. Obama just stood there looking cool like a male mannequin in those debates because he didn't have his teleprompter, so he was being kind of cautious about what words he said. But McCain was demonizing Wall Street fat cats at every opportunity. You know, in the last 2 years, the United States banking sector has declined to 25%. Below 25% of what its value was 2 years ago. They're not fat cats. They're emaciated, cadaverous cats. They've got that, what's that thing, that cat version of AIDS that the cats get, the feline immunodeficiency virus? These are emaciated, skeletal cats. They're the only ones left. They're scavenging for fish bones in the garbage cans of Wall Street. And
garbage cans? The garbage cans of Wall Street. Come on. I'll bet you. I'll bet you our buddy Dave's listening in Canada. I bet you Dave, who's really from the sceptered isle, can tell us that people from there don't say garbage can. Dustbin. Dustbin. Right? Right? Dustbin. And they say quaint, cute, charming things like going to the chemist's instead of going to the pharmacist's. They take a lift instead of an elevator. The goods are delivered on lorries instead of trucks. Jesus, I sound like an advertisement for Arthur Treacher's fish and chips. See, I can do it too. Dig it. This creepy cat filling in for Flush Flimball today, this Mark Stein, who repeatedly talked about how, well, those of us who have come to this country from other shores understand that we had to leave the socialism that Western Europe thinks is so chic and so marvy, and we had to come to America where there's the freedom and opportunity of the free market unimpeded by Marxist, Leninist, and socialist influences upon government. Right? There's only one problem. I don't know of anywhere in the nation of Canada
where they talk like this. Unless they're trying to talk like someone from across the pond. Now, please understand, I know I'm doing this terribly. But so is Mark Stein. But these little ditto heads out there, by God, he sounds like he's a real intelligent feller. He's got one of them English accents. The mega dittos from England. How, how, how?
Because, you see, Mark Stein is a Canadian.
It's not English.
That's why Mark Stein says garbage can instead of dustbin. You see. It's perfectly rational in Merry Oldie to sit at dinner and say, pass me the giant. And have them hand you the roast beast. And not a great big honking spleef. But these people cannot compete honestly in the realm of ideas.
So they have to make a personae for themselves. By Jove, I think he's got it.
And they have to make up phony arguments.
And this is the only place on the air today where you'll not see Barack Obama. He's been all over the media lately, dancing the night away with Cloris Leachman on Dancing with the Stars. I kid you not, I heard this stuff.
You know what Mark Stein is? Mark Stein's a DJ. Mark Stein is an old DJ, just like me. Only I'm decent and compassionate and humane, whereas he's a little right-wing bug monster. But one cannot help but ask, what is it that DJs are in many instances, principally known for? Why, they're known for doing funny voices.
Yes!
And so there he was, palming off a fraud on the credulous and all too willing to believe, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing faithful of Flush Flimball. Positively stunning. But that wasn't the end of it. Because when I got to the point where I could take no more of that,
I went over and I pushed the scan button.
I'm sure there's an English colloquialism for scan button, but you know, the bobbin necker, whatever. I pushed the scan button. And suddenly, this female voice that sounded like the verbal equivalent of the word shrew, that sounded like needles entering flesh, that sounded like vocal cords tearing, assaulted my poor little liberal ears. In this instance, it turned out to be... apparently no one works Monday in right-wing radio. It's like barbershops are closed on Monday or something. This person was filling in for the ordinarily hateful Laura Ingraham. And it turned out to be Tammy Bruce. Now, Tammy Bruce bills herself as a gun-toting conservative lesbian. Oh, baby. And she was squealing away, referring to the President of the United States as Barack Hussein Urkel, and proclaiming that he is a bad man, and that he and Michelle are bad people. And calling Michelle a fraud and a phony. and playing clips of Steve Urkel from whatever that show was a few years ago, where in that nasally voice that he parlayed into a couple of million bucks as a child actor, he said, "Can I do that?" So I had that for 45 minutes going down the road. Now, if you want to know what what sounds to me like the sound of needles entering flesh is, I offer you this. This isn't from today, but this is Tammy Bruce.
Unless you, maybe you are just getting up or just tuning into what's going on, Sarah Palin is John McCain's choice for vice president. I have to tell you, I did not give him enough credit. Even yesterday, did not include her in our final...
That's really enough, isn't it? I got in the door, and I just wanted to go to bed. I had one of those moments. Remember the early Bewitched? When the original woman who... No, it was the woman who played Darren's mother. And she was one of those character actresses who never wanted for work. Some little piece of Samantha's magic, and or her seeing things and then not seeing things and popping in and out and little witchery things, would begin to get to Mother Stevens.
Mother Stevens.
And she would look up and say, "Frank, I'm getting one of my sick headaches." That's how I felt when I came in the door when I finally got home. I practically ran through the door and leaped into the loving arms of my beautiful wife and almost collapsed weeping on her shoulder. I know it's terribly unmanly of me, but 4 hours of this! Jesus! 4 hours! 4 hours of phony Brit. Including a call to the phony Brit from a feller from Naperville, Illinois. Seat of the Brain Trust of America, I'm told. Who informed Mark Stein that, "Well, you know, my ancestors were immigrants just like yours, Mark. They came to this country by way of those great socialists. You know, Bismarck, the first socialist of the 21st century." No, really, he said Bismarck, the first socialist of the 21st century. I'm not kidding. "Bismarck, the first socialist of the 21st century. Then Hitler, then Khrushchev, FDR, they went through it all." Yeah, no kidding. This genius equated Hitler, Khrushchev, Stalin, Bismarck, and FDR. The right wing didn't go away. I think in many ways we have been so fixated on Flush Flimball and, "My friends, I hope he fails," that we fail to note that there are oodles of second-tier and third-tier hate mongers who are out there trying to crazy their way into a bigger contract.
Maybe today if I say that Michelle Obama eats kittens, I'll get a bigger raise. And I'll get a show just like my hero, Dr. Laura. Or Laura Ingraham, or some attack blonde. I'm a brunette. But I can be like them, too. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where this Mark Stein creep comes from. Him and his... Because, you know, those accents, you turn them on and off like water.
You get done with the show. And that's all for today. Rush will be back tomorrow. You know, he's a great American, Rush is.
The little red on-air light goes on. Well, thank God that's over for today. Somebody find me a little boy. You know what I mean? So that's what I've got out on the road. That's what I've got to contend with. Because honest to God, commercial radio sucks. Because I know you're saying, well, Bob, turn away from it. You're a glutton for punishment. This is something approaching masochism. And I would have. But if you go over to the FM dial, you hit scan, and for the 9,327,643rd time, you hear the boot scootin' boogie on the country channel. And you hit scan a bit again, and you hear the Eagles singing Witchy Woman for the 15,623,554th time. It's frustrating as hell. I mean, isn't there anything sane out there? Well, there was. Then again, one can always go to the last AM station in West Virginia playing music and hear Hoagy Carmichael play Old Buttermilk Sky, which is actually where I wound up. That's how bad the state of broadcasting is on the terrestrial radio bands. And boys and girls, I'm not just talking about West Virginia. It's that in D.C. There's three or four places where you can hear Flush Flimball in D.C. and not one liberal to counter him. Not one. Imagine that. The District of Columbia. An area that, when given the opportunity, votes overwhelmingly against every Republican drawing breath against whom they get to vote. From John McCain to George W. Bush to George Bush the First to Dole to the Reagan, Nixon, the District of Columbia despises right-wingers and Republicans. And yet you cannot hear one iota. Not one megahertz, not one modulated bit of amplitude, not one that is anything remotely resembling liberal. And that is the state of the nation throughout most of the nation. It's breathtaking. And it has to be ideology. It simply must be ideology. Because otherwise you would have to make a factual assertion that there is nobody in this country selling anything that liberals want to buy that could be advertised on the radio. Because we must remember, again, that terrestrial radio is not a medium which is designed to deliver programming to listeners. Commercial terrestrial radio is a medium which is designed to deliver products and companies to potential customers. Actually, it's the other way around. Commercial radio broadcasters deliver groups of listeners to product producers and sellers. It does not matter as long as the demographics support it, there will be someone who wants to run advertisements for the automatic peanut poop separator. It's just the nature of the beast as it has been transformed in this country via what are ostensibly considered to be public airways. But that's not where this whole story ends. It gets worse. Now, you know that starting somewhere around Friday after President Barack Obama's appearance on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, you know that he made an offhanded remark about bowling like he belonged in the Special Olympics. So the right wing has been having a 4-day long outrage gasm, talking about how insensitive that heinous beast Barack Obama is to people with disabilities. No, really. I mean, I'd rather he hadn't said it. If you want to be cute about it, you can say, yeah, Jay, I bowled a 128 with the bumpers down. And everybody gets it. Because, you know, when you take your little one for their first trip to the bowling alley, they've got those little rubber bumpers. Rubber bowling alley bumpers. Say that a lot. And your toddler can push the bowling ball and it will careen crazily down the alley until it finally strikes two or three pins. That would have been funny. I'd rather he hadn't made that. But you know what? I have said 1,000 times worse on this program and not meant any harm by it, just as Barack Obama meant no harm by that comment. But anyway, it's been a multiple day the outrage gasm for the right wing. And of course, this Tammy Bruce creature was just shocked, I tell you, to find out what a horrible, horrible person Barack Obama is because he made that terrible, terrible, insensitive, mocking comment about America's special children that I, as a conservative, don't give a rat's ass about because they can't make me any money. Right? Right. So that's the outrage gasm. Now, I want you to compare and contrast that, if you don't mind, with what Fox was up to at roughly the same time. I mentioned Mark Stein being a Canadian with a phony British accent. Well, Canada was in the news over the course of the weekend. And in point of fact, Canada was rather sadly and tragically in the news over the weekend. 8 Canadian soldiers were wounded near Kandahar. 4 others were killed outright in roadside bomb blasts. Their names are worth mentioning, for they did in fact give that last full measure of devotion. Master Corporal Scott Francis Vernelli, 28 years old, Corporal Tyler Crooks, 24 years old, Trooper Jack Bouthillier, 20, and Trooper Corey Joseph Hayes, 22. All of them were killed this past Friday in 2 roadside bomb blasts in Kandahar province. You remember Kandahar province, the last remaining vestige of the greatest military mind of all history's attempt to subjugate Afghanistan, Alexander Iskander. These 4 were killed, 8 were wounded. Well, there's a creep on Fox News by the name of Greg Gutfeld. He hosts a program called Red Eye.
And they decided at the same time that four young men from Canada were ceasing their sojourn upon this mortal coil. Greg Gutfeld decided that that would be a lovely time to mock Canadians. I wish I was kidding. I assure you, I am not.
Once their Afghan mission winds down, sometime in 2011, certain members of the Canadian military are looking to take a much-deserved break. And by certain members, I mean all of them. Due to personnel and equipment shortages, Canada's Lieutenant General Andrew Leslie, an unusual name for a man,
Leslie.
Yes, told the Senate...
An unusual name, Leslie. The last name is Leslie, not the first name. Although there's plenty of men named Leslie as a first name, his last name is Leslie. But this... This ass in a chair... starts out by demeaning a man's character by virtue of what he perceives to be an effeminate last name. It's not going to get any better.
Defense Committee last week, quote, "We will have to explore the possibility of taking a short operational break that is synchronized of at least 1 year," meaning the Canadian military wants to take a breather, to do some yoga, paint landscapes, run on the beach in gorgeous white capri pants.
I wonder if Master Corporal Scott Francis Vernelli, Corporal Tyler Crooks, Trooper Jack Boutillier, and Trooper Corey Joseph Hayes would like to run on the beach in fabulous white capri pants. I wonder if maybe some of their squad mates would like to beat the living hell out of Greg Gutfeld. You see, the implication here is that, you know, the Canadian soldiers are a bunch of sissies. You know, capri pants and...
Leslie added that there's no one to repair the tanks, nor are there any ready tanks for soldiers to train on, so a hiatus is needed to get their armored act together. Doug, I go to you first, because this is a very important question. I want you to take it seriously. Isn't this the perfect time to invade this ridiculous country? They have no army.
I didn't even...
Time. Time out. These people are dumber than dirt. The United States of America has, twice in her history, attempted to invade Canada. We have found both of those to have been less than salutary affairs, which is a fancy $10 word way of saying we got our asses handed to us and sent home. Invade Canada. By the way, in case you're wondering, this is supposed to be humor. No, really.
Know that they were in the war. I thought that's where you go if you don't want to fight.
Exactly.
Go chill in.
This dude's eyes are slit down to where I don't know how he can see through them. This guy is so high on camera. No, he's high on dope, but I mean, you know what I mean. This is just. It's just pitiable, if it weren't Fox.
Canada, so
exactly.
I guess that'll be their tourism, you know, that'll be their selling point. We're not in the war for a year.
Exactly.
Come on by while we nap.
Exactly.
Oh, nap? Nap? You mean like an eternal rest? The eternal rest that this stupid, misguided, ignorant, foolhardy adventure in Afghanistan, the eternal rest... Master Corporal Scott Francis Vernelli, Corporal Tyler Crooks, Trooper Jack Boutillier, and Trooper Corey Joseph Hayes were subjected on Friday? That kind of nap?
That's amazing! I don't know any country that's done this, Bill. Would Canada be able to get away with this if they didn't share a border with the most powerful country in the universe.
No, they probably wouldn't. And, I mean, does this surprise any of us? I mean...
It surprises me.
Well, you're stupid.
The one truthful moment on this poor, misbegotten program.
Oh, no need for that kind, sir.
We have police officers, and they have Mounties. Our cops ride heavily armored cars. They ride horses. We have bulletproof vests. They have wonderful little red jackets that can be seen a mile away. This is not a smart culture, Greg.
Really?
Yes, but to be fair...
Who you are about to hear is yet another one of these dirty little attack blondes in the form of Monica Crowley. Don't make me play that song. This is so juvenile. And it is so offensive. But as I said, remember, there are millions of Americans out there who are sitting there in their T-shirts or their polyester pants. Maybe both. One would hope. That's right. That Greg Gutfeld, he sure got it right there. Muriel, bring me another beer. Them damn sissy Canadians. I don't know why we put up with them. Tired of carrying them. Well, what have you got to say, Miss Crowley?
To the Canadians, they're up there where it's frigid, very cold. They're hardy people, good allies of the United States.
Oh, but wait, we've got something to worry about.
This is why I'm so disappointed in them.
Someone's getting Canadian.
No, but I have. So they're getting manicures, they're getting pedicure. Everybody needs a little
bit. But isn't Canada...
They're getting manicures. They're getting pedicures. You stupid harpy, they're getting funerals.
Doing, Monica, what most of Europe does anyway, which is just rely on USA in case anything
happens. Of course, they couldn't take a year off from their military if they didn't have the security backdrop of the United States. Now, here's the woman...
Wait a minute! I mean, just wait a minute. They couldn't take a year off if they didn't have the security backdrop of the United States. Who's gonna attack them? Honestly, look at the world today. Where is the major conflict in the world, and who started it? Afghanistan. We started it. You know, no matter how hard Dick Cheney or George Bush or the kind of sleazy rice goes great with kind of sleazy chicken, no matter how hard any of those try to pretend that September 11th, 2001 was a function of Afghani government action, it wasn't. We now know from our own attempts to pacify that sad, sad country that there is an area near the border with Pakistan that is absolutely no man's land, and no one can control it. That, of course, is where Osama bin Laden and his buddies hang out. And so, if anything, the Afghan government was guilty of not being able to do the same thing that the United States government isn't able to do. That is, pacify those so-called tribal regions. Does that mean we need to be bombed into the Stone Age, too? Just asking. But instead, all of those, what I've just laid out for you are all facts. What these pitiable wingnuts are palavering on about is nothing but more of the same hateful rhetoric that they have engaged in for yea verily the last 8.5 long, long, tortured, blood-soaked years.
Who should be really frightened by this? Sarah Palin. Because she's the guy.
Oh, well, it's all about Sarah now, isn't it? Oh, why should... Wait, Sarah Palin should be frightened about this? Huh? What? But it, no, just real quick. What? Afghanistan, we started it. Iraq, we started it. There's some ugly trouble in Darfur, but, you know, it doesn't involve... So we're not that interested. There's some nasty business in Nigeria. There's some ugly business maybe in the Congo. You know, the little hot spots and flashpoints that you always have around the globe. But who is being threatened on a major international global level that is not being threatened by the United States? That's the question. If Western Europe and Canada did not have the shield of the American military to protect them,
who would invade them? Really? Who? Martians?
Governor of Alaska, which is right on the front lines with Russia.
Huh? That again? No, please. Alaska, which is right on the front lines with Russia, if you don't count 1,000 miles of ocean! Sorry. Letting go now. Letting go now. Breathing, breathing. Letting go now. Letting everything go. I'm going to my happy place. Okay, maybe I don't have to scream anymore.
And the Canadians are just basically telling the Russians to come on over.
So the Russians could actually...
Oh, that's not working for me not screaming anymore. And the Canadians are basically telling the Russians to come on over? We'll go tobogganing and ice fishing there. Hey, you know, you Ruskies just come on over. What the?
Invade, because we won't invade. We're too wimpy for that. But the Russians, they just might. Let me bring J-Ho on in here. J-Ho, should we be worried at all about unguarded borders here? Or is their military pretty ineffective at all to begin with, and it was always a problem?
That we thought that Canada was going to invade us, Greg?
It's easy for people to get through Canada.
These people have been watching South Park and thinking it's a damn documentary. Holy mackerel!
Get to us.
Yeah. Well, people, you mean just what, Norwegians, Greg?
Yes.
You mean, you know, people from
Brazil?
Fundamentalist
Norwegians. Fundamentalist Norwegians. There's a difference.
That's
the real shame here. I mean, I have a tremendous respect, Greg, for anyone who serves, Canadians,
yes,
Americans.
Yes, I do too.
But I think we've tied the...
No, you don't! You've just mocked the dead! For 3 continuous minutes! I have a great deal of respect for anyone who serves. Kiss my foot!
We've tied these kids' hands. I mean, after all these years, we can't even say militant Islam. You know, we're fighting the terrorists. We're fighting the evildoers. I mean, my God, let's win this war. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been soft for too long, and it's a shame to have to...
This is an announcement. Don't eat the brown acid. Don't eat the brown acid. I repeat, don't eat the brown acid.
We've been soft for I can't get it out of my mouth. There are something approaching 1 million Iraqi civilians. And those 1 million Iraqi civilians are dead. We have in excess of 4,000 of our own. Precious military personnel wasted in the sand. And we've been too soft. Because we can't call them Islamofascists. Mother McCree. They've lost their minds. And it's, you know, it's not just media. It's politically, too. It's PR front groups. I got all of it. It's all stacked up right here in front of me for the evening. They've lost their minds. Eliminationist rhetoric. Mocking the dead. Taking cheap shots at the First Lady of the United States. Yeah, because, see, that's what Tammy Bruce was all hot about today. She was mad at Michelle Obama for going to a school and telling children that when she was young, she was mocked because she sounded white. And any child of color in that classroom probably knew exactly what she was talking about. But according to Tammy Bruce, it was a classic case of the egomaniacal Michelle Obama making it all about her. This is 2009. I don't know if we can get well.
Keep them there year after year after year when we're not actually going after the enemy at hand.
It's an excellent point he just made.
I'm certainly getting softer from that delightful green room food. But the other thing you should be worried about, Greg, is Canada starts this, who's our other border, Mexico. They're going to start relying on our army, too. Remember, it's not Canada. It's Mexico that likes the siestas. It's happening.
You know, that is...
Jesus! This is loopier than the Vietnam domino theory. Well, you know, South Vietnam falls, the next thing you know, they'll be in Topeka.
What?
It's a stereotype,
No, it's a fact, man. That's actually a Mexican word.
Is it really
a
Mexican word? I don't speak Mexican. I speak Spanish, my friend.
I speak American. Look into it.
Last word, Doug.
Me, really?
Yes.
That was more than one.
How about evildoers who are saying thanks for the heads up on that year thing, Canada?
Very good with the last word. I'm going to you more for last words.
Lord, I wish it was his last word. But it's not. Because it's Fox. But again... That's not where it ends. There is so much more. And in addition to the so much more there is, there are also your phone calls, which you may very well want to make, participate in the program, that sort of thing. And you may do that. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's toll free. On your nickel, if you want to save us a nickel or a buck, 304-658-3333. We'll take a little break. We'll come back to your calls. Well, right after this daggum song loads, because I'm a production staff of one. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice.
I just wanna know, sweetheart, girl, get to your miracle. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
No phony made-up oxen here.
Just straight-up conversation radio. My pledge to you. A little bit before the hour of 7 p.m. here on the East Coast. Lord only knows what time it is where you are. But wherever you are, the time it is right now for us is time to go to the phones and see if anybody was willing to wait. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, Luke, what's up, brother?
Well, I have a couple comments on some of the stuff you talked about this evening. Most people, you had to really hunt in the story whenever they told about it. But Washington, up until the election, did have a liberal talk station. But the problem with it was so powered, you couldn't even hear it in certain parts of the city.
Oh, it was a flickering candle flame at best, yeah.
It was it 1260 or something like that? And
yes.
They were trying to keep it going, and all of a sudden they decided, well, we're going to switch this over to an all-business channel.
Was it all business or sports? I knew it was something.
It was one or the other, you know what I mean, because I've had two or three lately, you know what I mean. But, you know, no one ever wants to talk about the fact, you know what I mean, when they talk about it, the fact that, oh, yeah, it couldn't compete against right-wing talk. It's like, yeah, let's see, now you've got a 50,000-watt station on the right-wing talker, and we've got a station that can't carry across the city. Yeah, that's real even. Let's try that.
Yeah. But the funny thing was, even on that crappy signal, somebody who is, you know, decidedly not really a liberal, but provides some sort of a counterpoint to the right-wing the hate babble, Ed Schultz did okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't burning up the waves, but what did he have to work with?
It was true. Well, you were talking about Red Eye. I watched it one evening, and I decided, this must be where they got the idea for Beavis and Butthead. It must be, you know. I mean, that's what I thought of it when I was sitting there watching. I said, this is a live-action Beavis and Butthead show. You know, God, you know, some of the things, and they sit there and laugh at their own jokes, and they're not even funny the first time. And they make fun of things that are some tragedies and stuff like that. And like you said, it's like this thing. Well, let's see now. What they would have rather them to do is, oh, yeah, let's send the Canadians out in those unarmored vehicles. I'm sure that'd be okay. Yeah. you know, just they want to take off a little time and, you know, rearmor, re-up, get everything back into working shape.
No, they're a bunch of sissies. They need to go out into combat without any armament. That's the only way they can prove that they're real patriotic Canadians.
And I love the one about Sarah Palin and all that. Where you, like you said, there's a thousand miles of water. And then when you get to that part of Russia, that's part of Russia even the Russians don't like.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's eight levels down from a backwater.
I know. Oh, God.
I mean, people don't even, it's not even worth hanging on to in a game of Risk.
I mean, all they do is they have some settlements, I think, alongside the ocean. But other than that, that area in there is kind of a dead zone for the most part. I guess about the only thing up in there now is the military, but that's about, you know what I mean? And they don't like it.
That's the Russian equivalent of being posted to Ice Station Zebra.
Thule. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. But, you know, it's just amazing sometimes. And I heard, you thought, did you see the thing that I think was in today's, maybe in Common Dreams or it may have been Alternate, about the lady who dared to criticize Bill O'Reilly and Bill O'Reilly sent one of his shock teams out after her.
Yeah, that's another one I've got. I did see that. Little 100-pound, 5-foot woman, and he sends this senior producer, Jesse Waters, with two T's, to chase her down and ask her why she hates rape victims.
Oh, I tell you. Well, then the other one that did you get a chance to watch it online, to watch this past week's Mr. Marr show?
I saw chunks of it, and I saw a brilliant little exchange with Olbermann. At the
end of it where they were talking about the fact, where Olbermann was talking about the fact that he knows some of the right-wingers who personally just don't care. I mean, they aren't. He said, these are guys selling, so that's all they're doing.
Yeah, that's the clip I saw where he said, you know, I was standing there with Sean Hannity one day, and he looked at me and said, you know, people think we hate each other. It's just TV.
Anyway, what Olbermann said to me made a whole lot of sense. He said, look, said I couldn't switch around to the other side. Said I couldn't go on and tell you and do it, make it believable something I believe in. He said, but he swears, you know, he says there's Hannity and there's one or two others, I think I know one or two of who he's deferring to, who said to them, this is selling something. That's all it is. You know what I mean? They'll tell whatever they have to sell the product.
In other words, they know that there is a vast undercurrent of ignorant hatred that pervades this country, Luke.
Well, and like I say,
and that they've got stuff they want. And those people are dumber than dirt, and they've got stuff that dumber than dirt people who are filled with hate will part with their money for. You know, those are four referenced vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls, Swedish mattresses engineered by NASA, patent of baldness remedies, and buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation if you buy gold now and incorporate in Nevada.
One, you know who this leads to? It leads to the pig man. Because, you know, you and I have read things over the years where people have said the pig man, when he gets off the air, he's totally different. You know what I mean? It's like that's just the suit he puts on to sell the product.
There you go.
So if anybody thinks that they know what Rush thinks, they have no clue. Because this man doesn't believe half the crap he's saying. He's just saying it so he can sell a product.
Which kind of explains this Mark Stein character, because the guy's a complete and total fraud.
And, you know, I mean, there's so many of them on the right that are that when you sit listening for 5 minutes, you realize that's the way they are. I mean, you know. But like I say, if anybody had listened to it, I guess either YouTube or HBO has got the episode. This past week's episode was a great episode. You know what I mean? Did you ever get a chance to listen to one from the guy the week before I told you about from the Washington Times?
Yeah, I did. That guy, that Andrew Breitbart?
Yeah.
Margaret.
He's one that's sort of like, okay, we're gonna have a little sanity test now. Here's the Rorschach. What do you see?
Oh, well, this Tammy Bruce creature screeching, and I do mean screeching, into the microphone. I don't know how the diaphragm of her Shure SM7B or her Electro Voice RE20 or whatever it is they use. I don't know how the diaphragm stood it, but her
screeching into the microphone, "Can we blame this on George Bush, too?"
You know, it's like one thing that right-wingers will never admit to. The main reason, I'll swear this till the day I die, the main reason we went to the war was because he wanted to prove that he could do something Daddy couldn't. You know, Daddy couldn't take down Saddam, but I could. You know, when you realize what all they did, you know, where they switched the focus from Afghanistan to Iraq, all this was a, I don't want to say it out loud, you know what I mean, but it's a something contest to prove he was more of a man than Daddy was.
Yeah, it's the whole Oedipus, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of it all, there's that.
That's the whole basis of the Iraq War.
Yeah, it's strictly Oedipal, and there's in the middle of it all is that old beast with the pearls. Ew.
Oh, one piece of good news I saw today. I hadn't seen anything reporting on it. I saw that Mr. Williams came through his heart surgery apparently fairly well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything on it, and I saw something today. I think it was over at CNN where they were talking about he had his heart surgery and everything went fine. That is Robin Williams, I mean.
Yes, yes. And
he was going to be through here, but had to cancel. But that's okay, understandable. So
yeah, well, that's okay. He'll be up and making ad lib jokes about EKGs before we know it.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure they probably said belt him down. Don't let him get up. Because if you turn your back to five.
Well, they probably had to use all the opposite medications for him because he's probably one of those people that's like, you know, you give him some Valium and they get all speeded up and it, right. What's that called? An idiosyncratic pharmaceutical reaction or some such?
Well, you know, he's had his trouble with substances,
yes,
over the days. So you know what I mean. But I saw tonight, and I hate to bring this up. You were talking about him a minute ago. I saw Big Eddie was doing the 1600 show on MSNBC.
Oh, he's being groomed.
Yeah, I have that feeling that, unfortunately, he's the one they're going to pick for that damn 10 o'clock show.
Well, you know, you can't have – they've got a really cute, smart, funny, brilliant person in the form of Rachel Maddow. They've got Keith Olbermann pre-existing in terms of sharp and incisive. So they got to balance it out with some stupid.
I know. I kept my fingers crossed because I kept my fingers crossed, but I knew it would never happen. I kept hoping for Spent Uger.
Yeah. No.
Young.
Cenk will continue to labor in the wilderness with the rest of us.
Well, if I say I have a feeling that they listened to him one time on the internet, and said no, we can't let him loose on the air.
He'll say booger.
So they'll be sitting there with their feet. Somebody lean on the red button. Don't bother pushing it. Just lean on it.
Yeah. Well, they'd have to reconfigure their little red dump button as a sort of railroad dead man switch where everything just got dumped. Yeah. And this is not a criticism of Cenk.
Oh no.
It's just the fun words fly when he gets going real good.
And that's understandable. We have that problem too. I have to watch my tongue when I get on some of these subjects. I'm just sort of like. So I said, what's happened? I said, I bite my tongue. That's what I had to do. Because I'd really like to say some things that, like I say, most people would slap me for. And like I say, once mom has hit you once in the back of the head with a rolling pin, you never do it again. You know? So, but I tell you what, I'll let you go. I know you got other people to come on, but like I say, I just want to bring up those couple little things.
Well, very good. I appreciate it, Luke, and we will talk soon. Yeah.
Hey, one thing technical. Did you see the story today about this new police car that, Seven.
No. I came home from my little road trip so horrified I haven't gotten to do some of the other fun wandering I usually like to do.
Okay, this is one from, it was on CNN, I saw it. But apparently there's this company, I believe it's in Atlanta, and they're coming out with a car made essentially for the policeman. You know, it's designed specially for them. It's going to sell only to the policemen. I'm just sitting there just waiting to see when the first one gets boosted. You know?
Yeah. What is it, like Kit from Knight Rider or something?
Essentially, when they read you down the list of it, it's about like that. I mean, this is one that's like, it's got, you know, it's like the back seat is specially designed so you get people in and out with handcuffs. front seat are redesigned so you can get in and out wearing your gun belt. See, it's got, it said it theoretically could survive like a 75-mile-an-hour rear impact and keep running.
Oh, so basically they've made the actual real-world car equivalent, cop car equivalent of Burt Reynolds' Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. The indestructible car.
Isn't it fun how reality proceeds from fantasy?
Oh, if you ever want to know how that is, sometimes you ever read the stories, you can go back when it was on the air and you realize how many cars the guys that did Dukes of Hazzard went through.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Hey, Luke, have a great evening, brother. We'll talk soon. All right. Bye now. Oh, and I forgot to offer condolences to Luke on his beloved Vols, who did. They put in a better effort than my Mountaineers did, but the end result was the same in the first round of the big dance. And let's see. You guys have no patience. Well, there you go. If you want to get in on the conversation, the lines are wide open, 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON, or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. And your thoughts on any number of topics are more than welcome this evening. Yeah, there's something about making light of the conflict in either Iraq or Afghanistan that is a special brand of sickening. I mean, this story just coming out of the hellhole that we have made of Iraq. And by the way, before we go into the details of this, some right-wing punditry for you. From the Weekly Standard's Fred Barnes. What a loser. Before we start talking about reality in a place like Iraq, let's hear the fantasy version from Fred Barnes.
Look, I don't think the tradition of a former president not criticizing his successors applies to vice presidents. I've never heard that anyway. And good for President Bush and his father not criticizing their successors, something that obviously President Carter has violated, and Bill Clinton has occasionally, but not that often. Look, it's great to see Bush on the verge of actually getting some credit. May not happen for a few years for his Iraq intervention, which worked, created a democracy. Even there's one group that is even that I hadn't even heard of until recently is giving Bush credit, and that's the Iraqi people. Look, a recent poll of over 2,000 Iraqis shows 46% say they feel secure where they live, which is in Iraq. Last March, only 20% could say that. Pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah, it's really impressive, especially in light of these numbers. From the BBC today, at least 25 people have been killed by a suicide bomber in the Iraqi province of Diyala. Dozens of people are also reported to have been hurt in the attack. According to the BBC, the suicide attacker targeted a funeral in the town of Jalala, northeast of Baghdad. It was the second bomb attack in Iraq today. An earlier explosion near Baghdad killed at least 8 people. And, of course, the BBC is blaming Al-Qaeda. The target of the attack was a local politician who was attending the funeral. But 46% of the Iraqi people are grateful to George Bush because they feel safer now. Just how much of this babbling bug spray are we expected to tolerate? This make it up as you go along, the phony ass journalism. Well, I know it's not fooling you, but I come back to my inquiry. How many people out there, angry, disaffected, separated in the consumer culture, leading isolated lives, are sitting having that babbling fox box feed them this toxic stew of hate and malevolence? How many of them have been radicalized by Fox? I'll ask you that. We'll ask that question a little bit later in the program as well, because it's not just Fox and it's not just the media radicalizing a segment of America. It's not just what comes out of the box in the form of for-profit media channels. No, not at all. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, I'll talk to you.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, Reverbo, what's up, brother?
Well, I wish there was something to talk about. It's kind of pretty dull today, huh? Not going on, I guess.
Yeah, you know, just it's another day at the bicycle shop.
Yeah, another day at the coleslaw factory. Just, oh, man.
Shredding cabbage.
It's my dream job. I thought I'd let you know. I can't get it, though. I'm either overqualified or underqualified. I can't figure out why I can't get an interview down there.
Well, everybody wants to work there.
Yeah, well, they got that cute little... Well, never mind. I don't want to go there.
Probably best not.
Your first caller that Luke was talking about, you know, the real reasons we went into Iraq. And, yeah, there is. He is a maniac with his Greek mythology edible business in his background, which is another great reason we are so lucky that John McCain isn't our president now, of course. He would have brought that same baggage with him.
You know? Oh, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. He had a lot to prove to Daddy as well. But I think what happened, at times, even the Bush people didn't totally drown in their idiocy. I think they looked it over and thought, there's no way we can win in Afghanistan. The only place I could probably pull this one out is Iraq, so let's just get over there as fast as we can. I mean, anybody can look at the recent history books and look at those Russians hightailing it out of there. You know?
Sooner or later, everybody hightails it out of there. And it's kind of ironic because they hightail it out with their tail between their legs.
Oh, yeah. Well, just like in Vietnam, you know, you just can't. You think you can just blow into these places with those mini guns and the Huey choppers and the battleships and these people with these little, you know, roadside bombs they set off with cell phones pretty much just knock you right out. And then, like, years later, you keep scratching your head and trying it again, you know, the definition of insanity. Huh. Sad, though. I mean, there's people, pain and death are not funny. That is, I do enjoy that. I enjoy a good joke about pain and death, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, when it's delivered just right, it's a real knee slapper, Reverbo.
It really is.
You know, those sissy dead Canadian soldiers frolicking on the beach in their white capri pants. Man, that's the kind of humor you pay millions for.
Oh, it does. It elevates those people just well beyond, you know, where I thought they were. I mean, I thought they were sort of funny, but now they're just freaking hilarious. I mean, the next thing, you know, we'll be making jokes about, you know, people who have cancer and stuff, I guess. Oh, whoops, I guess we're already there.
We kind of are. Yeah,
we kind of are. People are, did you see what happened to the stock market today?
Went up 150 points or so during trading. That's the last I heard on the news that Timothy Geithner had come out and done what Paul Krugman said he found very depressing.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I thought it was more like 400 points.
Well, it probably went that high. Like I said, I just got that on the 15-second stock market blurb at noon, or 1 o'clock before the phony guy came back on filling in for Flush.
No, it was an epic day, and that's what they're doing, though. They're still having this problem. You know, the Wall Streeters love Timmy, and they love this team, Bob, and it's obvious why they love them. They want to keep the status quo alive.
Okay, so I'm being told in the chat room, Reverbo, that it wound up somewhere around up 500, about a grand total of about 5%.
It was incredible.
Yeah, on the news that we really are going to spend taxpayer dollars buying investment products that are worthless.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, instead of letting the free market, you know, that capitalism that all those right wingers are so fond of, and instead of letting the free market, you know, eat its own toxic substances, we're going to do it for it.
Yeah.
Aren't we great? I mean, wouldn't you? Anybody that would do that? I mean, wouldn't you? Isn't that just who you want to go out for a beer with on Friday?
We've talked about this. Our country goes out of its way to play with these guys, to be nice to them. It really isn't fair when they come back. I sound like I'm 5 years old now, but it's just, I mean, what?
It is 5 years old. This is that old joke about, man, when you were born, you were so ugly, your mama had to tie a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to play with you. And we've got the American people have the financial equivalent of a pork chop around their neck trying to get Wall Street to like us again.
Oh, they're just drooling all over me. It just tickles how much. I mean, you can't get any friendlier with these guys. And, they really ought to just, so there you go. I mean, the stock market has nothing to do, of course, with what the economic condition of your country. None. You, when you lay off, you know, hundreds and thousands of workers, you know, your profits are looking great. You farm out all your work to the people in overseas, you know, pay them $1 an hour instead of paying me, you know, $18 an hour. Man, that doesn't look.
You can't hardly blame them, can you, Reverbo?
No, there's a lot of pressure from your investors. You got to keep those dividends coming. But, I mean, good Lord. So, yeah, 500 points. Well, hey, I don't know, you know. And 500 points today. And
well, apparently that was inspiring enough to allow J.P. Morgan Chase to go out and order 3 luxury Gulfstream jets and hire the building of the hangar. The hangar is what impresses me. J.P. Morgan Chase, bless their hearts, they're going green, Reverbo.
Wow, this is better than I even imagined. I like about them is that they're not shy about spending that money they get, though. They're not sitting on it like people, you know, people are pointing fingers, and I say, well, hey, wait just a second. We're building the hangars, okay?
Yeah, exactly, and these things are Gulfstream 650s. The fastest, widest, because, you know, you want a wide-body corporate jet for your wide-ass corporate executives. These are the widest, most comfortable, fastest corporate private jet ever. Okay? They've got an optional stateroom. They got 12 different interior designs you can choose from. They have what Gulfstream describes as superior cabin amenities. I mean, little soaps in the shape of seashells in the lavatory, everything.
Oh, moist towelettes.
Oh, crates of them, Reverbo.
Oh God.
Well, and you know what? When one of those is out there, you know, anything worth having. Ask anybody who relies on a piece of technology for his living. If you have to have one of them for your living, you have to have two.
That's what I always say.
Ask a photographer. You know, we've got 2 little portable $200 mixing boards that we take with us if we're going to go and do a remote in case one of them goes down.
Exactly.
Okay. We've got 2 microphones in case one of them goes down. We've got 2 microphone cords in case one of them goes down. Photographers sometimes have 2 and 3 cameras. Okay. Well, J.P. Morgan Chase, they're going to have 2 of these Gulfstream 650s.
I thought, well, why not have 2 of the platinum moist towelette dispensers in case one goes down? I mean,
The Gulfstream 650 probably does have 2. I mean, that's the kind of design thought that goes into the fastest, widest, most comfortable private jet ever with superior cabin amenities.
I would expect no less from the wide track senior managers at J.P. Morgan Chase.
So you can't just have one. You got to have two in case the first one goes down, because you don't want J.P. Morgan Chase executives needing to fly to Washington for an important corporate welfare meeting and suddenly have to take public transportation. You can't do that. So you got to have two.
Yeah.
All right. And if you got these two and they're that nice, I mean, these are nice aircraft, and if you're going to spend the taxpayers' money on them, then you don't want to insult the taxpayers by putting them in some sort of shabby-ass hangar. Right?
Well, it'd be like parking your Cadillac in a shed, you know, in the back 40. No.
Right. So the new hangar is going to be the premier corporate aircraft hangar on the eastern seaboard. I guess that means that, you know, somebody on the left coast has got a better one, but J.P. Morgan Chase will try to drive them into bankruptcy, I'm sure.
Somehow I think, I don't know, call me crazy, but are we heading into the arena of this put the hangar manufacturers back to work?
There you go. No, because once I'm done describing the hangar and its materials, you're going to understand it's going to put lots of people back to work, Reverbo. Now, J.P. Morgan Chase says that no TARP money is going to be used to make any payments for new jets or hangar improvements.
Oh.
But so they'll just use regular company money, but the TARP money will be able to fill in what they would have done with the regular corporate money anyway, right? I mean, you understand? I mean, this isn't some sort of phony baloney three-card Monty scheme being played on the sidewalk next to the stairs to the subway, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell. You submit.
Wait a minute. I want to go back to this part about this regular money that they're going to be spending. I thought they had lost all that regular money in that giant card game.
Found some.
Oh, they found some.
Yeah, there was a room that the janitor had broken the key off in the lock of, and when they drilled out the lock, they opened the door, and there were these boxes and boxes of money.
Just like what happened to that Democratic congressman in Louisiana.
Opened the freezer and there it was.
God, this happens. I wish this would happen to me.
I know.
I'm going to go. I'm going to try this right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you got the munchies and you keep going to the refrigerator, like some sort of moron thinking that something will have materialized there in the last 5 minutes.
All I see in here is pita bread and some leftover taco shells. I don't see the money.
Brother, you're in tough shape. I mean, you don't even, well, maybe you got some tuna in the can. You got a little mayo in there? I mean, you whip up some tuna salad for the taco shells and the pita bread? I mean, go on.
I'm not going to give away the whole freezer. This is just a radio show.
Oh, okay. Wait. See what you do to me, Reverbo?
You're looking for food in my freezer. Why are you doing that?
We got to talk about the hangar now.
Well, I want to talk about putting Gulfstream people back to work on the assembly line.
Yes, and hangar building people.
Damn right.
And the hangar building people are going to build this premier corporate aircraft hangar on the eastern seaboard, Reverbo. They're going to build it with, they're green. J.P. Morgan Chase has gone green. They're going to rebuild it with reclaimed wood. So they'll put wood reclaimers back to work.
Next thing, you're going to have solar-powered coffee machines, I'm sure.
They're going to build it with reclaimed quarry tile.
People are pulling out the stuff. Is there no stuff? I've never seen...
J.P. Morgan Chase, I want you to know, is concerned about climate change.
Oh, I knew this would happen. I knew this was a good idea right from the start.
But we haven't gotten to the best part.
What is that?
You know the First Lady put in her White House garden this weekend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that cool? Yeah. And there was a list of things that they want that the White House kitchen said, would you grow us some? And she said, sure. And she said, the president will work in this garden whether he wants to or not. You get him, Michelle.
Like you gotta like that.
There was one concession. Barack Obama does not like beets. There will be no beets in this garden. Barack and I have to have a talk about this. Beets are wonderful.
How do you like the beets?
There's not a way I don't like beets.
I don't know.
I like them when you dig them tiny and you pickle them in quart jars with a mouth-numbing load of clove in them. and they're yummy that way, or just sliced on the side of a nice Greek salad, or and I worry about our foreign policy, Reverbo. In borscht. How is President Barack Obama going to go to Russia and sit down and look into the soul of President the Medvedev?
Yeah, him.
If he can't look across a bowl of borscht to do it.
Well, from the sound of things, I have a feeling maybe beets will be planted, whether he likes it or not.
So anyway, this cool White House garden is going down. And I want you to know that J.P. Morgan Chase has their ear to the absolutely tuned in perfectly to the zeitgeist of Americana. Because this premier corporate aircraft hangar on the eastern seaboard that's going to be built with reclaimed wood, which will put wood reclaimers to work, which is going to be built with reclaimed quarry tile, which is going to put quarry tile reclaimers back to work. Reverbo, this premier corporate aircraft hangar on the eastern seaboard is going to have a vegetated roof garden.
No.
Yes.
You mean like, you mean the roof itself is going to be somehow, you're going to be able to grow, you're going to be able to... No.
And the corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and I think it's going to grow straight up to the sky. Yeah, that.
The world, once again, will be opening its jealous eye on America.
On the vegetated roof garden of J.P. Morgan Chase. They will be the jealous envy of AIG, Citibank, Bank of America. They may start an entire green financial revolution with their vegetated roof garden, their reclaimed wood, and their reclaimed quarry tile. It's just like Henry V says in the play named after him, let us not be followers of fashion, but makers of it.
I'm the normally reserved crowd on in front of my house tonight is on their feet. They're outside on their feet right now. Why?
I just want to sing. I mean, this makes me want to play I'm Proud to Be an American. Where at least I know I'm free and J.P. Morgan Chase can have vegetated roof gardens on their aircraft hangars. And what aircraft hangars usually, don't they usually have those curved roofs?
Yeah, they're like, I don't know, they're like big Quonset huts, aren't they?
That's what I always thought. So there's going to be, there's going to be like terracing and engineering and architecture going on. J.P. Morgan Chase Reverbo is actually building the 21st century equivalent of Nebuchadnezzar's seven wonders of the ancient world, Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Oh, I can see the Chase School of Architecture at Yale in a couple of years.
My patriotic pride is, Reverbo, it's surging.
This is one of the best routines you've ever done.
It's not a routine. I'm proud.
No, it is. Tell me it is, please.
That thumping in my heart tells me it's not shtick. I'm proud of J.P. Morgan Chase. They're restoring my faith in America.
Well, they sure
God bless them.
Restored faith in the stock market today.
Well, there you go.
This is a joke, right?
Vegetated roof gardens saved the market today. It wasn't Timothy Geithner. It was the reminder from J.P. Morgan Chase that we can sit in our vegetated roof gardens over the widest, fastest, most sumptuous corporate jets in the world that we didn't spend TARP money on. And we can sit under our little cocktail umbrellas, sipping our Camparis and soda, eating hummingbird tongue canapes, and America will be America again.
A self-cycling vegetative roof garden over every Gulfstream jet. I'll accept no less.
Absolutely not. This is America.
Oh, God, we need some music. You got to play. That's all there is to it. On my knees. You have got to play Wilson Pickett. I'm on my knees. 99.5 just won't do. We have to give it 100, like J.B. Morgan has done. Well,
I don't see how we can't.
We have to. Wilson would. Oh Lord, they're piling on. And you know, they're just not even bothering to listen to Krugman anymore, or James Galbraith. They're people still piling on Geithner and the plan, and it's like. They're just slowly drifting smaller. Their image is smaller and smaller in the rearview mirror now.
Yep.
I guess I love President Obama, but he wants to maintain the status quo, and that's evidently how it's going to go. The only thing about it that is absolutely frightening is that if it doesn't work, nobody is going to want to pony up another dime for another plan.
Well, if it doesn't work, there won't be any more dimes to pony.
It's all like it better work.
There you go. And just for you, Reverbo.
I am charged. Well, I'll hang up and listen on my computer speakers.
All right. Take care, Reverbo.
All right. Make it personal.
I am. Later, brother.
All right.
Straight to you from Reverbo. The new anthem for Wall Street, 99.5 won't do. Gotta have 100, Wilson Pickett. For those of you who are concerned or curious, it's all real. It is all real. J.P. Morgan Chase really is doing that. Sort of. J.P. Morgan Chase has said through Joseph Evangelisti, has said the company won't buy any aircraft or spend any money on a hangar until 100% of the TARP funds are repaid. And if you believe that, yeah. You know, swampland in Arizona, desert in Florida. I'll sell it all to you for cheap. And let's see if you're still with us.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
We had a
used to have a neighbor out here that built houses just on his own. He was his, you know, his, did his own contracting, and he built, he didn't build like slews and slews of them, but, you know, around, and they were beautiful. That's when they, two bedrooms and one bath. But he would build them beautiful and really good. And his home, and he had a business, he had the garden top roof. Or what? The rooftop garden, what do you call it?
Garden, what are we calling it? Vegetated roof garden.
Yeah, but that's, he really, his homes were just beautiful. But I wanted to say something about the radio show you were listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of those people except the woman.
Tammy Bruce?
No, the other one.
Laura Ingram?
Yeah, no, the one that's on Crossfire.
Oh, Monica Crowley?
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of Candy Crowley.
I am?
I think Monica Crowley is this little attack blonde that works for Fox.
Yeah. I thought they were the same one.
No. Candy Crowley is so very much not Monica Crowley.
Are you talking about CNN?
Yeah, Candy Crowley on CNN is twice the woman Monica Crowley could ever hope to be.
Well,
really?
I don't trust her. Well, who was on the show? Monica or the other one?
Monica.
Yeah. Well, that's the one I was thinking about. But anyway,
Now that I've thoroughly confused the issue.
I know. you hear a lot of people calling in to these different shows when I used to listen to them. These right-wing shows, you know, they'd say stuff down in other countries. Oh, it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for us, you'd be serving the Nazis and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yep.
Like, we were the ones that actually won the war for everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, those 50 million Russians didn't count.
Yeah. Even the French, you know, they had a French resistance.
Well, but they're French. How much can they resist? I mean, that, you know, the French resistance.
That
just meant that they brought the Nazis cold cups of espresso.
No. No. There were some really brave people. I'm kind of a student of World War II.
No, I know. And I am being entirely sarcastic.
Yeah. But, you know, and they helped out our people too that were over there, you know, our soldiers and our troops. But how dare they talk about the Canadians? Have they gone over and fought a war? I doubt it. The ones that
Greg Gutfeld, no, he's doing his part for the war fighting effort from the studios of Fox News in New York City. Everyone has to do their part, and his part is to sit and make fun of people who get blown up.
Well, I want to apologize for him to the Canadians and especially the parents of those people, of those who were lost, who have been lost, you know. And of course, they make fun. These people make fun of, like, people like Cindy Sheehan, who lost her son. They claim that they're really crazy about the troops, but if they don't agree with them 100%, or if they don't think they do, then they're terrible, too, to them. These people, that didn't even make any sense, what they were saying. And they were laughing?
Mm-hmm.
What was so funny about it?
They're monsters. They're psychopaths. Yeah, right. Psychopaths and sociopaths, and I will say this on my own hook, although I suspect horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner would back me up on this. Sociopaths and psychopaths find things funny that normal people don't.
Yeah.
Sociopaths and psychopaths think it's funny when people get blown up.
Yeah. The people that blow up frogs, they wish they could blow up people, too, instead. And maybe they have. Who knows? And filmed it. so they could get their jollies.
Really?
Yeah, well, then that way, you know. But another thing is, this is another aside that I've been wanting to say something about for a while, but I hear it frequently about the people in New Orleans and about not being prepared.
Right.
And then you hear, like, I won't mention any names, but on the radio about buying food to supply your family food for how many years?
Yeah, whatever. for the coming apocalypse.
Yeah, right. and buying guns and burying them in the yard and all that.
You know, I'm not an expert or anything, but I know a little bit about guns. And when you bury guns in the yard, you know what you get when you dig them up?
Rusty guns.
Rusty guns, exactly. I mean, there's only so much cosmoline you can put down a barrel.
Well, in where I live, I'm sure that they'd be gone in a while. I mean, people would come in your yard in daylight.
Hey, look, you live in
stuff.
Yeah, you live in Florida. Never mind burglars and so forth. you leave guns out in the open air and they rust with the salt air.
Yeah. But and another, you know, this is where the people that come to take them away from you can't find them. Well, I'm sure that they have, like, metal detectors and all that kind of stuff. But the analogy I'm trying to make is, like, I'm sure there were people in New Orleans that had plenty of food on hand because, like, most of the black women I know and the white women I know have, you know, they can food,
mm-hmm.
they freeze food. I had a neighbor, she had a freezer full of food, and she was robbed of all of that. She, you know, all that was robbed.
They stole the food?
Yeah, stole every bit of it. Well, it was, you know, somebody that lived there, anyway, was, you know, for drugs. Sell for drugs. Anyway.
Now, I got to tell you the truth. Around me, one of those old antique churns filled with ears of pickled corn is not safe. Because I would ask nicely first, but if I was refused, I would come nigh larceny over that. I love pickled corn.
Oh, yeah, I don't never had that.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, my heavens, Juanita, you got to find somebody that's making some because it's good.
Well, the analogy I wanted to make in, when the flood comes, you can't go in and get all that food and take it with you.
No.
When
the flood comes, you can't even get to the hospital to get your little frozen snowflake babies out. You've got to commandeer a boat from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and go cruising past drowning people to go save little microscopic embryos.
Yeah. But, you know, in other words, you think you might think you're prepared. But if they did come and take you away, you're going to leave all that behind no matter what, whether it's flood or not. So I don't think people can trust in that, you know, buying that stuff and buying all that, what is it, canned stuff. It's supposed to be so great. How do you know?
Well, right. How do you know? And a lot of it, I think, is vacuum sealed and freeze dried and stuff like that. At least it was back when I was watching people hustle it. Yeah.
But I'm just saying you can't stake a claim in that and think, oh, well, I'm prepared. Like having a little place out in the woods, out in the country where nobody can find you. Well, how are you going to go out there? Like I'm saying, if the flood came, it doesn't have to be an attack.
No. I understand that. By the same token, there's a mindset involved there, Juanita, that involves the right wing that is so, and I will dare to speak of this with you because I know the nature of your faith, or I think I do, that is so unchristian. You know, here's all these right wingers waiting, you know, well, you know, when the bad times come, you've got to have your food laid in and stock, and you've got to have a lot of guns because you're going to have food and you're going to be able to eat, and you're going to be beset by people who want to eat too, and you're going to have to shoot them.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. For Jesus. Yeah. Well, see, that's not what the Prince of Peace taught.
Nope. Take no thought for tomorrow.
There you go. You know, consider the lilies, all of that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That toil not, the spin not, yet I say unto you.
That a sparrow falleth not from the air, that the Father knoweth it not, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, if they were really Christians, which they all profess to be, right?
Yeah.
If they were really Christians, they'd lay in the food. Well, first of all, they wouldn't be laying in the food. If they were really Christians, they'd be preparing food and feeding it and sharing it communally among their neighbors. Because, you know, remember St. Paul says we held all things in common for the common good of all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Communism. Oopsie.
But, no, that's not what it meant.
No.
That's what to say.
No. It meant when you hold it for the common good of all, it meant that St. Paul had this cache of food for the end of the world, and since he didn't have guns, he had lots of swords and spears and knives and slingshots and stuff that they were going to hold off the whole world so all the Christians could sit around and eat falafel at the end of days. There you go.
But you know, in other words, you can't trust in all of that stuff. And that is another thing, talking about the Christian faith. When Bush, that made me so mad when he had all these fear tactics and him claiming to be a Christian. If he had really been a Christian, he would have not brought so much fear to this country. It made me angry that, oh, they'd get on, the reporters that get on TV, and, oh, they're scared. Everybody over here is scared. Well, you're not supposed to live like that in fear.
No.
Especially in Jesus' teaching, you're not supposed to live in fear. And, but this wonderful guy, this Messiah-like person or whatever, oh, yeah, he brought fear galore. And that's what, like, the criticism of Barack Obama is by Cheney.
Aren't you people still afraid? We've been gone for 60 days and you're not afraid anymore. You're supposed to be afraid. That man does not make you afraid anymore. You're not safe. You're not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, that, I was just gonna, I know the type of people that, like, I don't care if they are lower income. They still find a way to have their food if it's in a jar or freezer or whatever. Mm-hmm. They do what they can.
There you go.
And
yeah, but sure.
When the flood comes or whatever, all that's gone by the wayside. When I saw the films of where they did rescue people with helicopters, they were in their attics. The water was going up. They couldn't go down and drag all that food up with them or drag even their jewelry probably. Probably some people's, you remember when the, reading about the, conquistadors, when they took so much, gold back with them till their ship sank?
Oh, sure. I remember the Atocha that was found off the Florida coast. It's loaded with Mesoamerican gold. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, oh, they're rich. But what good did that do them? They sank to the bottom of the sea.
What profiteth it a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Right. Right. Very thought-provoking. Do you know, I'm sure you know, and I can't think of his name now, but I'll just say this. I saw I saw a little blurb on C-SPAN when they had the author on, and I'm sure here's his name. You ever heard of Bob Sloan?
Sounds familiar, but I can't place him.
He wrote Missing Mountains. And he sounded like you. He's talking about Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But they were just interview, and he wasn't on very long, but, I mean, he got his a lot of points across.
Good. Good, good.
So, but anyway, I'm kind of getting hectic sounding.
No, you're not sounding hectic at all.
But, you know, I just, I'm like you. Those programs make me sick. That's why I had to quit listening to them or watching them.
Well, they will. I mean, they will after a while because, actually, what the sum total and effect of right-wing TV and right-wing radio is to rot the viewer or listener's mind, Juanita.
Rot?
Rot. R-O-T, rot. You know, I
agree.
I took our buddy horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner's name in vain a couple of minutes ago, but he really did. He wrote a very important book called Fox Syndrome, Shared Psychotic Disorder.
Oh, my goodness, that I can believe it, because I'll tell you what, my introduction to Rush was on the job. We had a radio, and this girl, she thought he was funny, and I got sicker and sicker and sicker every day. And I told her, after a while, I said, I can't listen to this anymore. Now, we had local shows back then. This was when Bill Clinton was running. And we had local shows back then that 99% of them were a right wing.
Sure.
And there was one man that was on the radio who was a liberal, but he was like all liberals, like we are. We criticize our own. We don't hide our weak points either. And that's the way he was. But that he was the only one. And they had this guy that was supposed to be from England on there that was a right wing. Oh. It would just make you sick.
I know, and the reason all that stuff gets programmed, Juanita, has nothing to do with the validity of the validity of the perspective. It has to do with the ideology of the programmers and the ideology of the station ownership.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's when they started changing over to being a Republican, or oh, I'm a Democrat, but I'm voting for Bush, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, Juanita, have yourself a wonderful night.
Okay. Good night.
You take that pickled corn. It's going
to
be big.
I'll have to look that up or whatever.
Now, some people cut it off the cob and can it that way. That's all right. But what you want, if your doctor will let you have it, because it's very high sodium, because it's pickled and it's, you know, just floating there in a brine solution in an old churn. It's better on the cob. It really is.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You know, back in the day when I was a strapping young man who did things like working in the yard and working in the garden and so forth, we'd have a churn of pickled corn.
Oh.
And in the hot of summer, because that, you know, it's like that gag from that movie Idiocracy, you know, it's got electrolytes. Because of that, it's better than Gatorade. So I remember being a young man and you know, cruising along, doing whatever, you know, just sweating like a pig in the hot summer sun,
uh-huh.
And getting done and chomping down on, yeah, because you know, it's cool in the basement where you keep the churn and everything, and chomping down on an air.
We have basements down here.
Right, because they wind up in a sinkhole or, you know, you have to drill through coral or some such. But down in the basement, you know, there's the churn with the ears of pickled corn in it. You fish out an ear of pickled corn when you're hot and sweaty, and you eat it, and it's the most refreshing thing on earth.
Wow.
That salt brine and that sweet sugar of the corn all just sort of marry together in your mouth, and it makes your taste buds sing a little song and dance a little dance, and bang, you're refreshed. So, yeah.
It ain't none of that corn liquor, huh?
Well, I got other stories about the corn liquor, but we'll leave those for another day, Juanita. You take care, dear.
Make homemade book.
Oh, my. We'll
and
talk soon.
Stuff. Okay.
All right, bye now. View correspondent Juanita calling from Central Florida. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good. I was looking up at Tammy Bruce. She's in with Talk Radio Network.
Doesn't surprise me. They're, yeah.
And it was started by a guy named Roy Masters. You've heard of him? It
sounds like a porn star, but no.
I think he's like a cult leader. He claims to be Christian, but some people say it's more like a cult. And he's the one that started the TRN. I was reading about him on Wikipedia. He's from England, and he claims he can hypnotize people and weird stuff like that.
Well, I can tell you the 2 hours that I was more or less subjected to her and that phony Englishman subbing for Rush, it was torment. It was torment. I was a captive audience in a moving automobile and, you know, kind of tired because I had to get up early and, you know, I'm a late night kind of guy. Well, you know how it is out on the road. You know a hell of a lot better than me. You're a driver. And so, you know, you just wanted some ambient noise going. And it's all there was. And after a while, I just felt like just beating my head against the windshield glass. It was awful.
Yeah, I couldn't make it without. What if I just had a regular terrestrial radio?
Yeah, so, because you listen mostly to internet and podcasts and satellite, right?
That's right. I never listened to satellite, but I used to have a satellite, but I got rid of it when I got this internet card for my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't have to listen to crazy stuff anymore. But when I did have satellite, one time I was listening to, I'm sure it was Tammy Bruce on satellite. And I don't really think of myself as a great debater, but I caught Tammy Bruce's show one time and they went on the air.
Why am I not surprised?
Unbelievable.
So where are you right now?
I'm in Seymour, Indiana.
No, you've crisscrossed the country again. Last we talked, you were in North Carolina.
Yeah. I made it here real fast, like, and then I got stuck here. This kind of work, you make a delivery, and then you get stuck for 2 or 3 days, and make a delivery, and then the same thing again. That's one of the reasons why the work is so slow right now. And Joe Gay, you were talking about these guys on Fox News making fun of these Canadian soldiers who were taking some time. And that made me think of the Battle of Shiloh. One time I was bored, so I listened to some accounts on audio about the Battle of Shiloh, written accounts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the battles there, these guys were leaving the battle, and they're walking down the road, and this preacher was standing in the road trying to get them to go back. Said, "You guys, go back to battle. Be brave." And they just pushed that guy on the side of the road, pushed that guy over, and just kept on walking. Just how cowardly some of these people can be. I mean, you don't know what war is like until you're in it yourself.
Yeah, Stephen Crane wrote The Red Badge of Courage, and that's where he coined the term the elephant. And I bet you could probably find an audiobook version of it to listen to, but they talk about seeing the elephant. And seeing the elephant was that phenomenon of how of what happens when you finally start hearing shots fired in anger. The Red Badge of Courage remains a seminal work on the nature of warfare and the toll it takes on the human mind. But yeah, exactly what you were just talking. That's why I thought of that. Yeah, and have you ever been to Shiloh?
I've ridden past here several times. But
if you ever get some downtime anywhere near there, it is a sobering experience, to say the least.
It looks like it's pretty big because I've been like...
Oh, it's a big battlefield because there were lots of people there. There were more people starting than there were at the end. Kind of, because of all the death. That was the real shock to the system, to both the North and the South, because... More people died at Shiloh, if I've got my numbers correctly, more people died at Shiloh than died in the Revolution, the War of 1812, and the Mexican War combined. And that made both sides sit up and say, well, this might be a bloody affair.
Yeah, I think I heard it was the second largest battle of the Civil War.
Yeah, and it well, I mean, it was the largest at the time. You'd have to go on and get into things like Antietam and the Wilderness Campaign and the 7 days and things like that, and Gettysburg before you really before and by then the country was just in a state of shock. But if you are near there, if you're near there, it's and you can purchase maps that show all the military positionings and everything at Shiloh. And you can get an idea of what was involved with it when you see places like the Hornet's Nest, which was so named because there were so many bullets flying through the air, it literally sounded to the soldiers like they had stepped into a hornet's nest. Yeah, the artillery barrage would not be matched, I don't think, until Gettysburg. It was a horrible, hellish affair, and Grant came nigh to getting whipped. But the South lost its best general on the first day, Albert Sidney Johnston, and Pierre-Gustave Tuton Beauregard was not quite up to the task the next day.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed the northern the armies of the north to disembark from their riverboats late in the day, and that sealed the South's fate at Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
So there's our little history moment for the night.
Yeah, I need to find out. It seems like when it comes to war, that all these people who are pushing for war are people who've never been in the war themselves.
Oh yeah, from W to Cheney to Rumsfeld to the Wolfowitz, Pearl, the whole dirty, bloodthirsty crew.
Yeah, and I could say the same thing for my people who are related to me. Yet my sister, she marries a guy who's a Vietnam veteran who actually saw combat, and he's a liberal Democrat. So
right. Well, you know, we've got a number of Vietnam combat veterans who listen to this program, and you know, we don't swap a lot of information about it. But the little that I have received, that I have gotten, without going into detail, has indicated that part of the reason they're liberal is because of what they saw and how the lights got turned on for them, and what a hell and a horror that misbegotten, misguided, miserable, bloody affair was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alan, I'm going to roll along, brother. Good to know you're rolling along and still safe. Look forward to talking to you again.
Okay.
All right. Take care and drive careful now. Bye.
Bye.
And onward we roll. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-3333 on your own nickel if you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan. Chime right in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. Long time no talk.
You know, I was actually wondering where you'd been.
Well, it's been kind of a combination. I was in a hospital. They weren't going to put me in at all because Medicaid decided that the tumor in my breast wasn't big enough to warrant surgery yet. So they wanted me to wait 6 months and have another mammogram, an ultrasound and biopsy. It needs to reach a certain size before Medicaid will actually pay for a lumpectomy or a mastectomy.
So,
luckily it's a very slow-growing cancer. So,
they have deemed that it is malignant?
Yeah, but it was taken out along with a bunch of lymph nodes. So, and anyways, I've got to start some more chemo next week again.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Actually, as I was saying in the room tonight, I'm doing really good. I've become very active in the medical cannabis movement for obvious reasons. My glaucoma, the cancer, the chronic pain, etc., and you know, there have been, I think I told you before, there's several that have my genetic disorder that have actually been able to get their lives back after taking medical cannabis. You know, obviously it doesn't have the same side effects that the narcotics and everything else does. And there's so many medications that I can't take because I ruined my stomach with anti-inflammatories for so many years.
Oh, yeah, NSAIDs and so forth.
Yeah, and I've, in fact, this weekend I'm coming off of a really bad weekend, and it's why they're waiting until next week for the chemo, because I went ahead and gave in and took some anti-inflammatories against doctor's orders, and I ended up sick all weekend.
Oh, God.
But anyways, I wanted to let you know, because I kind of mentioned it in the chat room, I had an experience a couple of months ago, and or actually just a little over a month ago. I had installed, I was having a really hard time getting streaming radio, including you guys. I don't know why, but it seemed that everything was being blocked from me, or I could reach it and then it was buffering. I mean, all, not just Head On, Air America, everything would stream, buffer, go out. And I couldn't stay connected to anything. And I thought, I went through three different media players. Well, I installed VLC. And VLC has, like iTunes, a bunch of pre-programmed radio stations. And I was looking through the list, and there was a title that said political, but there wasn't anything listed, but it looked like the political led to a link. So I double-clicked on political. I was in for quite an experience that evening. This was an extreme right-wing station out of southern Arkansas, and that's where it's from. The owner is apparently fairly well-known for some of his antics in radio and other things that he's done over the years. His name is Ed Hale.
Doesn't ring a bell, but...
Anyways, I was introduced to some, I mean, I always knew, as I had said before, what is wrong with these people. Well, they are definitely living in a different reality, and I've met quite a few of them in real life over the past couple of months. But I also got to talk to the Secret Service over a matter of days. Anyways, I was listening to this radio station, and they were interviewing four state representatives from Tennessee, New Hampshire, and Oklahoma that had submitted bills for, not seceding from the union, but for their, sovereignty.
Yes. States, yeah, right.
That 20 states were applying for sovereignty, and that it was the first step in, and they were talking about that it was the first step in seceding from the union and declaring martial law in their states to overturn the Obama, you know, to start a war, civil war, and overturn the Obama administration.
Dear Lord.
Well, that wasn't the half of it. I listened to that for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. The whole time I was taking notes on the computer, I downloaded a program, like, in a matter of seconds that I could record some of this stuff on, and I started recording it almost, well, it was right after the guy introduced. I had a caller call in to talk to the representatives. He only identified himself as an active member of the military, and he went on to say that, you know, that they're really stepping up their recruitment things to try to get as many people trained for this new militia as possible. They're recruiting into our armed forces, especially targeting the neo-Nazi.
You mean like they want them? They want them in the military?
Yes, they're trying to get them in the military to train them in militia training so that they'll be ready for the Civil War. Anyways, that's what this army guy was talking about. But the worst part of it was when he, at the end of the call, he wanted to let the representatives know that he had their backs. And if they couldn't succeed at taking Obama out, that he and his men would do it permanently.
That's the point I was trying to make earlier at the top of the show. We as liberals go about our business. We're pretty much mind our own business types.
Mm-hmm.
For all the criticism that we're collectivists, we are actually far more individualized and individual oriented than a right winger can ever be, because the right wing mindset is authoritarian in nature. And because we live in our own little worlds, and I don't mean that negatively, not like our own little worlds like unicorns in the backyard or anything, but we mind our own business, and we tend to visualize an America that has problems, but that is fundamentally good. But all it takes is a few minutes with right wing hate radio, and you realize what a poisonous lot these people are. What a murderous, barbaric gang of bloodthirsty killers inhabit the right-wing mindset.
Well, I sent a link to the chat room. It's a link to this forum to where this radio station, this website is, and it was a closed forum. I had called my brother, who is in the Navy, has been for 30 years now, is getting ready to retire. He told me that I was making a big deal out of nothing, that I didn't need to call anybody, that, you know, this was a real fringe group, very few people, quote unquote, probably less than 100. Well, I soon found out that it's a lot more than 100. I mean, we're talking millions of people are believing this crap that they are hearing on Fox News, coming out of our mafia, mob, drug-addicted, blathering, you-know-who, who spoke at whatchamacallit, CPAC. That was, I couldn't believe that whole speech. But anyways, people are believing this stuff, buying into it. And so the thing is, I ended up writing to somebody who I listened to late night, what's his name? John Elliott, on Late Night on Air America.
Yeah, John Elliott, he's a good guy.
Yeah, and I had talked to him. He told me to leave a comment in his blog section, and I did, and I put my email address. 2 days later, at 7:45 in the morning, I got a phone call from the Secret Service, who somehow connected my email address with me and my phone number. They called, they talked to me twice. The third time they called, they asked me, whereabouts in Honesdale do you live? Exactly is your apartment? And I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna have a visit. I went down and warned my landlord since our door stays locked downstairs. Anyways, they did come. They went through. I thought they were going to take my computer because of the recording, but they didn't. They put it on their computer. They went through the notes, took the computer down. My landlord is one of the few progressives.
Now, wait. They shook you down?
No, took me down. We went down. I live over a print shop.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, to print out the notes and stuff so he wouldn't have to write it all out.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, luckily my landlord is, he says he's on quote-unquote our side in this because I think I've told you before, I live in an extremely conservative area, to put it nicely. Yeah,
right.
But what the Secret Service was telling me was there are a lot of these groups that they don't know about yet, that they're just finding out because of things that people like me overhear. And like this forum was a closed forum, and you had to register and be approved by Mr. Ed Hale before you could go into this forum. And when I was listening to that, I went ahead and I registered from the forum and we exchanged email addresses. I thought going under a phony name and somehow my off the wall email address got connected. Anyways, I got approved to go into the forum and that scared me even more. And apparently some of the people in the chat room have seen some of that stuff. There's a lot of posts, especially before this happened and before they opened the forum, there were a lot of posts that were, you know, encouraging people to buy firearms and ammunition to load up on things to get ready for the coming Civil War. Well, obviously because of free speech, they can't shut that down. They did open up the forum. They've opened up the chat room. And of what I'm reading, and believe it or not, people, the stuff that you read in there now is actually toned down from what it was before. And it's pretty bad now. It's pretty scary. But I don't know if they were ever able to track that caller, or I kind of doubt it, but at least they're aware of this. But according to the Secret Service, I mean, we are talking thousands and thousands of groups like this, you know, with totals of people in the millions that are believing. This, I mean, it is something, you know, you can't live your life being afraid every day.
Well, you can't, and it's really toxic to try. But Lord knows the GOP, whatever you want to call them, Dick Cheney, the blood-handed crowd, want you to. They want you to live in a perpetual state of fear.
Oh, I know that.
They want you to looking for the terrorists around every corner.
Yeah, that's how they rule. And the thing is that they're feeding into this insanity that's going on. And these people that are intent on starting... The racism is, I mean, although they will go on and say how they are not racist, yet the Army guy that called in, the active Army person, he said, that called in, said that, quote, if you can't get the monkey boy out, if that's not racist, I don't know what is.
Well, they are.
Yeah, I know they are, but they won't, I mean, they're not going to come out and say, yes, we're racist, and... In the perfect world, is going to have no gays, no blacks. Everybody is going to be a Protestant Christian and do what the rich Republicans, live as slaves under our, rich rulers' kingdom, basically. And they're not going to. And the thing that the Obama administration needs to know, and I heard somebody else on a talk program in the last couple of nights, an author called Frank Schaefer. He used to be an evangelist. I mean, way up there.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Good friends with Jerry Falwell and all that, and he finally saw the truth that these evangelists were best friends with corporate America and only interested in the money and the power, and that just overtook. And Obama and his administration are not stupid. I mean, it's human nature seems to be, especially these days, money and power, because of the way that our society became, that's all anybody cares about. And, yeah, the money and power goes to your head. But anyways, until we get rid of this corporatocracy, is that how I want to say it, corporatocracy? The corporations that basically.
The corporatocracy, the plutocracy.
And the Obama, I hate to say it because, I mean, I've supported Obama, and I'm really praying that something changes, like get the hell Geithner out of there, Bernanke and the rest of the guys who are sleeping with Wall Street and have no interest in middle class or lower class America. They just want their money back. I heard somewhere today, I was reading on one of the, I don't think it was Alternate Net or Op-Ed, that this thing today with the buying out toxic mortgages, all it is refunding the, my mind just went, what the bank account, not the bank account, what's the thing that all the rich people have, the funds?
No, 401k?
No, the...
Hedge funds?
Oh, the protected ones.
The hedge funds?
No. Yes.
Oh, okay.
The thing today about buying out the toxic mortgages is actually what it's doing is it's funding refunding and putting money back into the hedge funds and the people that run the hedge funds. It's not buying outfits. It's not, you know, buying people's foreclosed homes. But anyways, until we get out of this mindset that we're run by these corporations, and what I was saying before, these people have to, you can't coexist with the Republicans anymore. They're not regular what Republicans used to be. They're right-wing extremists. Even the politicians may not be, but they are ruled, their constituents are. The people that have bought them are. And they don't want to be taken out of power. You know, I've gotten into an argument a couple of times with people about health care reform. As much as I, especially in my situation, both as a former health care professional and as an unfortunately a very constant patient these days, I would love to see health reform, but it ain't going to happen. The insurance companies are worth billions, trillions of dollars. They're not going to let...
And they're not going to go gently into that good night.
No, they're not. And there needs to be a revolution, but I don't want to see it. There needs to be a change of consciousness is what there needs to be. I just can't see that happening when we've got a million people who are listening to these right-wing nutcases who believe that the end of the world is coming. They are the chosen ones. They are going to
Right. They are the neo-Calvinist elect. Absolutely. That's a new phrase that we've been, not a new phrase, but that's a phrase that's been coming into play on this program a bit lately. Neo-Calvinists, they believe that their wealth is the sign that God has shown his election upon them. Absolutely. Right. Yes.
Yeah. And they are the chosen ones. They're not going to give what, you know, Obama keeps, oh, we're going to cooperate. We're going to bipartisanship. There ain't no such thing. Not anymore.
No, you can't. How can you be bipartisan? Well, that's probably a silly question. How can you be bipartisan with somebody whose sole goal is to destroy and eliminate you? Have we forgotten so quickly the K Street Project? Have we forgotten Tom DeLay's vast megalomaniacal dreams of a permanent Republican majority? You can't do business with these people.
No.
You can't reach compromise with them. Anything that we compromise with the right wing on, we will find is nothing but an attempt to make sure that whatever it was we proposed fails. These people are failure agents, okay? The right wing is dedicated to the proposition that if they can't have it their way, there will be no way at all. Their way or the highway. Their
exactly.
vision of America or no America.
Yeah.
They are not interested in consensus. They are they're like the mob, okay?
And our problem, Bob, is that we are these liberal Democrats. We do live on our own worlds, go about our own business, and don't believe anything like this could happen. When I've talked to other members of my family and just other people, they look at me like I'm crazy. Well, oh, yes, everything's going to change overnight. You know, Obama wants to work with the Republicans, so the Republicans are going to sit back and agree. They're living in their own world. But and I hate to use this, and I'm sorry for bringing it, but a really prime example of how disorganized we are is progressive talk radio, liberal talk radio.
Give me your version of that, because I can go for 3 hours on it.
Well, just that nobody's organizing and getting all these people that have good things to say under one roof. Or they're not even under two or three roofs. You've got people going off all over the place on their own. That Nova M or whatever it was, and then became Second Thought, and
then died,
disappeared.
Yeah. And then died, yeah. Well, look, this all of that is
America goes revolving door that people come in and out all the time.
Yeah, and let me point out a few things. First of all, I'm proud to say that the seed of what became the Horn is older than Air America, older than Nova M. Okay.
Thank God.
And we hang on by the saddest, most frayed little last thread on a shoestring. Nobody here gets paid.
Right.
Okay. Believe me, as a guy who would like to have some creature comforts once in a while, that's troubling. It's more troubling to me when I look at the heroic labors of the rest of the people who don't get paid.
Yeah.
I want to, but short of firing up a printing press and starting to print my own currency in the basement, it isn't happening anytime soon. So what you have is a disparate group of people who are committed to the idea that there has to be something to counter the right wing.
Right.
You've got Cenk Uygur, okay? You've got the Horn. You got Malloy. You got Nancy Skinner. You got Tom Hartman, the Schultz. You got all that crowded Air America. Okay, and I'm not saying that disparagingly. They just got a bunch of people.
Yeah, I know.
And everybody's trying to do it as best they can because nobody out there is funding it. I don't know how many times I have to point out that if you are dealing with a situation in which Rush Limbaugh is making $40 million a year,
exactly,
and you listen to his advertisers, okay? This is a soapbox moment, so just bear with me. I'm not yelling at you, okay? You cannot sell enough advertising for metal buildings, bowling balls, patent baldness remedies, mattresses, buy gold now, and all the other stupid snake oil schemes that are advertised on his program. You cannot sell enough advertising to pay his salary, let alone those of the people who syndicate him at Premier, which is owned by Clear Channel.
And again, we have corporatocracy.
Now,
corporates are running it. Where's
right? But wait. We're not done following the money. Okay? So there's not enough money being made to pay his salary. That means money is pumping in from somewhere else.
Right.
Where is the somewhere else? It's foundations. It's conservatives who understand all the way down to the rock bottom basement level that if you want to take control of this country, you've got to have your message out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you have to pump money into it, and the devil take the hindmost. And that's what happens, whether it's Hannity or Limbaugh or O'Reilly or Beck, that little rising lunatic star that he is, or Bortz or Ingram or Savage or any of these other creepy bastards. Okay, there is a river of money that flows into them because the conservative movement understands that if you get out there and you lie to people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, in perfect harmony with Goebbels' concept of the big lie, you will change the dialogue. Even if it is untrue.
Right.
Now, so, little old liberals like me, I'm lucky to have a microphone and an internet connection. I can't get on terrestrial radio because terrestrial radio is controlled by the right wing.
Okay. I have a question, though. There's not all progressives are poor. There's got to be some progressives that have money.
There's
got to be somebody willing to fund.
There are oodles of them, rich
so
enough
why
to,
won't
with,
they
with
fund progressive radio
with enough money to barbecue a wet elephant. Okay.
So why won't they fund progressive radio?
Well, you know, we don't want to do that sort of thing, Muffy. You know, it's so recherché, and we don't really know anybody worth knowing who's doing it. I mean, how can we possibly trust them with the money?
That's not progressive. That's not liberal. That's conservative bullshit.
Trust me, I've had all kinds of doors shut in my face. So have others. It's the truth.
people just don't, God forbid, get involved.
You know,
that maybe when one of these states that has, you know, 10 million nutcases that have their guns together and decide to secede from the nation, that maybe some of these wealthy progressives might wake up.
Well, look, but look at how they run the business, okay? First of all, they assume that the right-wing business model will work for them. It won't. Okay, so there you have the birth of Air America. What's the first thing Air America does? Well, we got us a building. Ooh-wee, we got us Al Franken. Ah, okay, now we need some other people. We can't just make Franken work 24 hours a day. We need some other hosts. Before their bankruptcy, they were losing, I was told, $80,000 a day because they did it ass backwards. Okay? That's what the kind of money they were running through. A year or two back, I did a 45-minute rant on an organization called Greenstone Media that was going to reinvent the talk radio paradigm and create programming that appealed to women. They ran out and they hired executives. They had $7 million that came from the likes of Gloria Steinem and Jane Fonda and Rosie O'Donnell and Oprah and every woman who was any woman. And it's $3 or $4 or $5, $6, $7 million. And what did they do? They ran out and hired executives and bought a building or rented space. And in 6 months' time, they'd run through the money. Everybody went laughing to the bank. And Greenstone Media was no more. Meanwhile, the horn chugs along.
In my opinion, is that we need to quit being we can't quit being afraid, because we have to realize what's out there and what reality is, and that there is this very large and growing group of people that are so friggin' brainwashed by this alternate reality. I'm sorry, I get speechless, you know. I don't know if you heard Steele's comments that came over some interview he did or something this weekend, or it just came out this weekend. It was done a couple of saying that there is no such thing as global warming. Just look at Greenland. Why do you think it's named Greenland? When you have ignorant, that are so caught up as, well, this man is supposed to have some intelligence. What the heck did... And Iceland is called Iceland because they made a mistake or something. I mean, it was ridiculous. I've never heard anything so.
I live here in the belly of the beast in the heart of coal country, and global warming denial has been raised to an art form. In fact, I've got a couple of stories along those lines if I ever get to them. So I understand what you're talking about. But it's so good to hear from you, but I need to roll on. I need to see who this next blinking light is, and I'm running out of time in the evening.
My big thing just is we need to start looking at solutions rather than talking about problems all the time. We have got to find some solutions.
Well, look, I know what the solution is to liberal radio. I know what the solution is, but I don't know the right people, okay? So, therefore, any solutions I might have are going to go unheard. Because, you know, I don't sit down for lobster lunches with the people who have the money to fund it.
Unfortunately,
and the thing is,
and neither do Hartman. You would think that some of these people have gotten contacts over the years.
They're not. They don't. Well, see, that's because they don't get the reason for the medium yet. They don't understand its necessity. Right. 25 years ago, they ceded. They conceded this battlefield to the right wing. And they are still invested in the idea that they were right to do it, and only those people listen.
Well, something's going to be waking them up pretty damn quick if this economic crisis doesn't do it. An incoming civil war will. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Good to hear you again.
It's so good to hear from you again, and we'll be thinking about you. And, you know, beat this thing. We're rooting for you. Okay.
I've beat it before. I beat ovarian cancer 2 years ago, so not the first time I've been down this road.
Well,
so
go down.
I'm concerned, to be honest with you, I'm not as concerned about the cancer as I am my deteriorating eyesight. And in which I can't, I'm allergic to the eye drops. I can't take them.
But you might get a little respite from medical marijuana.
Well, in the next 2 years, or if I can afford to move one of these days, yes. Anyways, take care, Bob. I'll listen whenever I can.
Please do, and chime in anytime. Shoot me an email. Let us know you're all right, okay?
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And let's roll along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, that 11-year-old kid?
Let's talk real quick. I don't think this is appropriate.
First of all,
I don't think no. See, you're not very polite. You've got poor manners, and I don't think it's appropriate for you to be on this program.
Well, hold on.
No. I am a full grown man. You do not tell me to hold on. Do you understand that? You're a child.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. So I just told you I don't think it's appropriate for you to be on this program. Okay? Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care. I hope you get over whatever it is that's in your head. Be well. So it's 23 minutes before the hour. And I wanted to share something with you that I got via email from our buddy Scott in Sweden. Scott listens a day or two behind. You know, it's cold there, and it takes the packets that long to thaw out once they get to Sweden. Kidding. Scott had some thoughts. I got him in the email today, and I always like to share Scott's thoughts with you because he, that's the beauty of doing liberal talk radio. I get these emails where people, you know, it's more Magadettos from Busted Knuckle Rush. And that being the case, I wanted to share Scott's thoughts with you. He addresses this to Juanita as well. You listening, Juanita? Okay. Dear Bob and Juanita, your conversation on Friday about the multiplicity of roads in Florida reminded me of what my neighbors told me about their recent trip to Florida. Per Arne and Annette are recent retirees. Well, you can retire in Sweden. Cool. Are recent retirees and have become avid golfers in their twilight years as a means of staying in shape. This being Sweden, golf courses are closed 6 months of the year due to glaciers as well as polar bears preying on the slow-moving retirees. Okay, the bear bit is a lie, but it adds to the story. Since the links are closed half of every year in Sweden, folks here, my neighbors included, walk a lot. Sweden has an ancient law. Oh, boy. He always hands me these things with little dots over the A just to hear me trying to trip over my own tongue. Sweden has an ancient law, the Allemansrätt. That's probably too German an R. Allemansrätt. That permits anyone to walk on any property with certain provisos, not over fields, under crops, not through gardens and lawns and so forth. In other words, any forest and any fallow or stubbled field is prime hiking turf. Nor in Sweden are there many fences. You know, it's worth remembering, this is just an aside, but everybody knows that Robert Frost poem, Mending Wall, where he has, Robert Frost has his neighbor say, good fences make good neighbors. And everybody thinks that Robert Frost is quoting that approvingly. Robert Frost puts, good fences make good neighbors, in the mouths of a person he clearly delineates in the poem to be an idiot. So there, just saying. Nor are there many fences, Scott writes. So Per Arne and Annette have golf fever pretty bad and decide on Florida over New Year's. They have a list of all the public golf courses in the target vicinity and plans of losing a couple of kilos of winter weight. They come back astonished to find they could not walk anywhere, not even around their hotel with its keep-off-the-grass signs. There were no sidewalks, grassy fields open to them, and the first two golf courses they tried required them to use a golf cart. But the shame of using a golf cart could be tolerated as none of their duffer buddies were on hand to witness the humiliation. The meals were mountainous, so they took to ordering one meal and splitting it under the scornful eyes of management, who thought them cheapskates, while Per Arne and Annette could not bear to contribute in the wasting of perfectly good food.
although they expected to see it, they found the obesity to be pandemic and depressing. As for being fingerprinted and photographed at immigration by an abundance of beefy cops, belittling. Yeah, you know those Swedish retirees, they're going to come here and make us all socialists. They finally found a golf course that permitted them to walk and just golf there and only there the rest of their stay, as the drive there was less insane than to other courses. They came back angry and have now sworn off America as a destination and have begun warning their golf buddies to stay clear, too. Moral: national mindsets matter. Topic 2. Socialist health insurance in Sweden. Cassie brought up a slew of interesting questions about medical insurance, which you answered nicely, but there is another argument frequently heard in Sweden that I've rarely heard Americans bring up. One of the very basic reasons for universal medical insurance at a non-prohibitive out-of-pocket expense is that when a trip to the doc is cheap, and same day or almost, people go while their symptoms and underlying disease are more manageable. And here's the key. Underreported concept. The key underreported concept. This saves the entire society a lot of money. A healthy citizen is a productive citizen, not only for her own family, but to the society at large. They add to the gross national product. They pay their taxes. Their disposable income stays up. And thus, they are happy consumers in the true capitalist manner. Thus, it is entirely in society's interest to ensure that all are insured. We all benefit when only a small percentage of our fellow citizens are not working productively. And we all suffer when many are off work or even incapable of work. This reasoning applies to other social welfare programs, too. Affordable child care, cheap public transportation, free education through graduate school, worker retraining, and so forth. Facilitating everyone's ability to contribute at or near their capacity is jointly beneficial. It's the old principle of no chain being stronger than its weakest link. Additionally, knowing your neighbors have got your back, and you have theirs, takes away a lot of worry. And you end up feeling like a valued part of the machinery, one that will be maintained regularly and not some disposable item. Damn, Bob, if this does loop around to the same moral. National mindsets matter. How Zen, says Scott in Stockholm, waiting for spring. I don't know what I can add to that. It is so basically common sense. It is so essentially reality grounded that the only thing that could possibly get in its way is the ceaseless, merciless, shameless drive. No, not the drive. The worship, the zealous, fervent worship of holy profit. That's P-R-O-F-I-T, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T. The shameless, zealous, fervent drive and worship for holy profit. And we see it all around us. The reason we can't have meaningful health care reform in this country is because there is a tiny handful of people who are getting obscenely rich on the misery, sickness, and death of their fellow Americans. I say their fellow Americans, but they don't think of them as their fellow Americans. They think of them in terms of that heinous and hateful word, client. God, I heard a commercial today as I was driving down the road.
for some concrete outfit. It was a concrete outfit, for the love of God, and they were referring to their customers as clients. Everybody's a client now because we don't want to let the masses know how we really think of them, so we use a Latin term. And since we don't really teach Latin anymore, no one has to worry about anybody finding out that client comes from cliens, clientis, and that it essentially means vassal or serf or servant or underling or dependent. If you were a member of the patrician class in ancient Rome, if you were a member of the Roman Senate, you got up every morning, and as soon as you had had your morning, whatever they had in the morning in Rome, coffee had not yet been discovered, you see, nor tea, fermented fish brew, maybe, garum, I think is what it was called. As soon as you got your newly chalked up, literally chalked up the sparkling white toga on, and stepped outside the doorway of your senatorial residence, the first thing with which you were greeted was everybody in your neighborhood who had given you their patronage and support in the last elections and who expected you to do for them because you were their protector. You were their patron. Those people, those servile people, were called clients. And we live in a country now where it is so, where we are so intent on making sure that we reduce the vast majority of this population to exactly that precise status, servile and dependent on corporate America, that now everybody's a client. You're going to your shrink? You're not a patient anymore. You're a client. You need a concrete patio poured? You're a client. You need services from some state agency? Well, you're no longer a damn taxpayer. You're no longer the boss. Looky, you're a client. Watch that word. You know, as we were repeatedly admonished during the Clinton years when the right wing was engaged in a sex frenzy, words mean things. And they do. They do. The right wing just doesn't like for us to know what their words mean. But they do indeed mean things. And keep a weather eye out for that nasty client business. Words do mean things. Words mean things when they come out of the mouths of babbling right-wingers as we began the program this evening. And words mean things when they come from our elected representatives' mouths as well. When we're talking about the right wing, odds are the words in either instance have been crafted by some right-wing think tank somewhere that's also funding the fight, per our previous conversation. The political exhibit one tonight is one Michelle Bachmann. You might remember Michelle Bachmann from when she said that she was afraid that Barack Obama may have anti-American views, and that she wanted a McCarthy-esque investigation into anti-American elements in Congress. I'm ready for my close-up, Max. She's not done. We have talked repeatedly about the eliminationist rhetoric that flows like a toxic sewer out of the right wing. And here is another example of the same. I give you Representative Michelle Bachmann and eliminationist rhetoric.
John, thank you. Brian the Elder, I salute you. Thank you guys for letting me be on today.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, you're back in Minnesota. What's going on, Michelle?
I am. I'm out speaking to people all across the 6th District. I'm trying to let people know about what Barack Obama is about to bring upon the country with this cap-and-trade system and the energy tax. I'm bringing one of the leading experts in the United States in this subject back to Minnesota on April 9th, and I'm encouraging all your listeners to come out and hear him. His name is Chris Horner. He's an attorney. He is excellent. He gave a BAFO speech in...
A what? A BAFO speech? Okay, somebody help me. I know we got listeners in the upper Midwest, Minnesotans, Wisconsinites. BAFO? Is that something you guys just use on a... that was a BAFO football game there, hey. What? Just asking. Or maybe she's just nuts. I don't know. So, but anyway, we're not to the good part yet.
D.C., and I tugged on his arm and said, look, I want people in Minnesota to be the best educated on this energy tax issue. Would you please come back here and give a presentation? And he's kindly agreed to do it.
Okay, so blah, 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 cap and trade, Obama's going to tax America, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about the Obama energy tax at some other point. But it wasn't as, shall we say, banal as all that sounds. Like I said, there's eliminationist rhetoric involved.
Why do you think the Obama administration is trying to ram this cap-and-trade proposal through Congress so quickly?
Because it will give – it has the impact of forever changing our country. The way that LBJ, the way that FDR forever changed our country with some legislation, the cap-and-trade tax will give government more power over every American's life more than at any other time in the history of the country, and will raise more money than any other way of raising money. And
yeah.
I think that the American people need to know that our quality of life will be forever diminished, and freedom.
You know, that's absolutely right. And I think partly, as you say, they're trying to ram a lot of things through here in the first, as they say, the first 100 days, you know, analogizing to the Roosevelt administration. I think the other thing going on, Michelle, is that if you look at poll data, people are catching on. There's growing skepticism about the whole anthropogenic global warming theory, in part because the globe isn't warming.
That's right, and that's what's so key about people coming April 9th up to St. Cloud, Minnesota, and also over to Woodbury, Minnesota. And, John, if I can let drive people to my website, which is boxman.house.com.
Drive them? Here, get up! Here, here! Drive them to the website.
Gov. Bachman.house.gov. And Bachman is B-A-C-H-M-A-N-N. I have an email.
Yeah, the full spelling, B-A-C-H-M-A-N-N-I-N-S-A-N-E.
Newsletter. I have a blog. I'm on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. And
I am crazier than a sprayed roach.
Really, now in Washington, I'm a foreign correspondent on enemy lines. And I try to...
What? Just a minute there, hey.
Changed our country with some legislation. The cap and trade tax will give government more power over every American's life more than at any other time.
Yeah, we heard that part. Let's try this again. Did she really say I'm a foreign correspondent in enemy lines?
House.gov. Bachman.house.gov. And Bachman is B-A-C-H-M-A-N-N. I have an email newsletter. I have a blog. I'm on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. And I'll keep, really now in Washington, I'm a foreign correspondent on enemy lines.
She just declared herself an enemy of the United States of America. She did. Really. Really, now in Washington, I'm a foreign correspondent in enemy lines. Do you understand? Does it begin to come home to you now? The right wing sees you as the enemy. What do you do with the enemy? Well, you're about to find out.
And I try to let everyone back here in Minnesota know exactly the nefarious activities that are taking place in Washington. But you can get all the latest information on this event that's a must-go-to event with this Chris Horner. People will learn. It will be fascinating. We met with Chris Horner last week, 20 members of Congress. It takes a lot to wow members of Congress after a while. This wowed them. And I am going to have materials for people when they leave. I want people in Minnesota armed and dangerous on this issue of the energy tax because we need to fight back. Thomas Jefferson.
Huh, huh. No accent. No shtick. Just the quote. I want people in Minnesota armed and dangerous on this issue of the energy tax because we need to fight back. Now wait.
Jefferson told us having a revolution every now and then is a good thing, and we the people are going to have to fight back hard if we're not going to lose our country.
Thomas Jefferson told us having a revolution every now and then is a good thing. The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. This woman is calling for a civil war in this country. You heard a previous phone call. Other right-wingers are calling for a civil war in this country. A week ago, we had Chuck Norris calling for a civil war in this country. The right wing is bloodthirsty and dangerous, and they mean you no good. And yet here we sit, peaceful, nonviolent, wrapped in the tenets and teachings of Dr. King, Gandhi, and Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace, while they lock and load. I'm not kidding. They mean us ill. They want us dead. Take that knowledge and keep it in the forefront of your mind. Their war in Iraq failed. Their war in Afghanistan failed. But they want war. They want death. They want bloodshed. They secretly clap in glee with every mass murder that takes place in this country. That is what they are. We have to fight back hard if we're not going to lose our country. I want Minnesotans armed and dangerous. Armed and dangerous. Let's try to finish out with a phone call. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
This is Craig Cody. I live at 101 Steeplewood Drive, Exton, PA. And if you ever feel man enough, you come over here, Mr. You think that the right wingers want to kill everybody. You are.
Oh, dear. Wing nuts. So that's the program. Did you hear that? We talk about eliminationist rhetoric. What do I got? I got a right winger who calls and invites violence. I hope you're recording this, Ben. It might prove to be important. So that's the program. What a night. Thanks always go out to John Fox, our chief engineer, chief musician, web designer. Guy who knows how to make things work here. To Peter Godbold, our IT consultant. to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, at whiterosesociety.org. Nothing happens here without whiterosesociety.org. Many thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the people at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. They stand upstream and fight because they know that we are all downstream. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you.